be reading Psalm 96 as it's recorded here in the New King James Version. You can follow along in your Psalter too if you like. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful, and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming, for He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth. This thought that this psalm was composed by David during the time when the Ark of the Covenant was brought up into Jerusalem and finally set in the tabernacle. It was an incredible day of fulfillment of promise that David marked with many acts of devotion, both religiously and civilly. There was celebration all throughout the city, and David was bestowing gifts on everyone that was there. And he also marked this day with worship, with celebration, and this high, heartfelt praise. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. It reminds me of a ticker tape parade. You know how the city of New York will sometimes honor those who have come home victorious from war, or honor a victorious sports team. And all the city turns out, and there's this great celebration honoring the victory of those individuals. Well, David is doing something like that. He is honoring God, and it sparks this great celebration. If you look at verses 1 through 6, you'll find that David starts by confessing how great God is, and how He is worthy to be praised and worthy to be worshipped. He expresses God's greatness in the biggest and most glorious terms that he can. He describes God as receiving praise for what He has done for him personally, but he wants to reach beyond that and make sure that all of the people of Jerusalem and all of Israel understand that this is their God, and that this God is the one who has saved them. He is the Lord of the heaven and the earth. He is the one who made the heavens, the one who promised and brought salvation. He is the one and only God, the covenant God of Israel. But David doesn't stop there. He wants not only Israel to be drawn into the celebration, but all the ends of the earth. In fact, this God is greatly to be praised, to be feared above all other gods. All of the gods of the nations around are described as only idols, and it is only this one true God that is worthy of worship and praise. Because God is worthy, David then calls both his own people and the people of the earth to worship him in verses 7 through 10. See, you see that God is not just the Lord of the covenant people Israel. Instead, David rightly understands that God is king of all the peoples of the earth. And he calls all the earth to give glory and strength to the Lord, and to also come into his courts. Remember the setting of this great psalm? It's the entrance of the Ark of the Covenant, the designation of God's mercy and his presence among the people. And it enters into the tabernacle, the sign that God is with us. We might say today, God is in the house. And recognize that term as someone great and important being in our presence. And that's what David is doing here by calling not just the covenant people Israel to worship the Lord, but to call all of the ends of the earth to follow the mercy seat, to follow the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle to worship God. For the Jews, this would have been very understandable. They understood that this was where the worship of God was to take place. But David was also instructing them of the greatness of the vision of God's work, that not only were they to be drawn in, but the ends of the earth would be brought to worship God and God alone. David voices it in very dramatic fashion. The people around the world of every tribe and tongue should come into his courts and worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. David was describing not just those who were clean, the Jews, but the Gentiles also as being brought and clothed in the splendor of God's holiness. And David isn't finished yet. In the last segment of the psalm, verses 11 through 13, not only do the nations of the earth praise God, but he calls the creation itself to praise God and to rejoice in what he has done. He mentions the seas and the fields and all of creation rising up to give glory to God. And in these verses, David praises God not only for the redemption, but his greatness shown in judgment as well. The Lord is a holy God, and his justice is something that is deserving of praise and deserving to bring all creation to its knees. I want to give just a couple of pointers as you sing this psalm this month so that you would understand how you are a part of this psalm and so that you would see Jesus Christ. First of all, you make up part of the great throng of worshipers that God is drawing to himself. He brings you into his presence through Jesus Christ and through him alone. I remarked that the Ark of the Covenant comes into the tabernacle. And remember that the Ark of the Covenant was that sign of the presence of the Lord and was marked by the mercy seat where God said, "Yes, I am a holy God, but I will show mercy to those that I will show mercy to." We know from the New Testament perspective that the entrance that we have into the holy place of God comes through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 6, there the author says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." In other words, Jesus Christ has gone in to the presence of the Father, and he exists there to make mediation for us, and we are able to worship the Lord and to be clothed in holiness because of Jesus Christ. That leads to a practical point and a profound point. The practical point is that you're called to worship the Lord. You're called to come and to bow down to him, to offer him yourself as an act of worship. David adds to that that you come bringing an offering. You bring an offering to the Lord. In David's circumstance, that offering was a sin offering, first of all, to cover over our sins. But there was also the joyous thank offerings that were given, the The recognition that God has blessed me, so I will worship the Lord, giving to Him an offering. That's why we talk about our tithes and offerings in the context of worship, that as you give God an offering, you are worshiping Him. It is a mark of God's ownership, we might say. It's a mark that you belong to the Lord, that you give to Him yourself and your tithes and offerings. Well, that practical point stands on the profound point. The profound point is that the only reason that our offerings are accepted before the Lord is because there is only one offering that has been made, and that is the offering of Jesus Christ. You are brought near to God by the blood of Christ. You're given an inheritance that cannot fade away. You can sing this song, which is called a new song, because of the newness of life that God has given to you in Jesus Christ. And so it is a profound and yet practical psalm for you. It's profound because it calls you to worship in Jesus Christ. It is practical because it leads you to sing for joy, to bless His name, to declare His glory, to worship Him who has saved you and provided an anchor for your soul. Please take out your psalters and let's join together to sing Psalm 96. We'll sing both selections this morning. We'll start with Selection A. Psalm 96, Selection A. Please stand to worship God.